This meeting is being recorded.
Acknowledgement. In the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Good evening, everyone, and welcome again. We continue our study, 2 Peter, and moving on to finish probably chapter 2 and going into chapter 3 as we move on tonight. Just a quick understanding again, 2 Peter is written right, around the time, right before the time that St. Peter was martyred and killed. The idea again of the three chapters. Chapter 1 is acknowledging and reminding the people about the precious faith, right? About the faith that they received themselves and how precious that is. And because of that, also the power and the grace that we have that God has given us. Again, just remember always that beginning of chapter 1, of the beginning of the epistle, because it's very important to keep this in mind. As you said last time, sometimes you start with that, all the encouragement and the grace and everything, but remember there is judgment, right? Remember there is a second coming. Remember there is accountability. So we always like to hear always, even when we read the scriptures in general, we always search for the promises and avoid the commandments, right? Like, okay, I want to open the scripture and find the promise that tells me, you are loved. Okay, beautiful. That's it. I'm gonna that's my message for today. But in the same reading, probably there is something that tells me what behave, right? Be careful. Wake up. So in general, this is how we approach the text, right? Not just to pick and to search and to look for the promises and the uplifting, but also to be very, very paying attention, attentive when we speak to the word of God and to the commandments and to the promises and also the commandments that are given there. So that's exactly how St. Peter started this, right? In the how he started the epistle in chapter 1. Again, may grace and peace be multiplied. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertains to life and godliness. And just very, very encouraging and very true. It's not like just, encouraging, just making up things. Like, no, as he said later on, he himself was witnessing, right? And he was a live witness for all those things as he saw all the glory on the mountain. And then he goes on, not only his own witnesses, but also what all the scripture itself from day one till the time the witnesses and the messages and the scripture and the prophecies that witness that he is the Messiah, is the glorified God. And then going to chapter 2 again, after all this, like, be careful. This is if this is what it is, then you need to understand that there is always going to be false teaching, whether again it comes from outside or we can become that false teachers for ourselves, just going astray with our minds from the straight, the clear teaching into coming up with our own thoughts, our own minds, our own philosophies, our own religion, if I may say that, our own, way of worshiping, just picking and choosing sometimes. I think God would be okay with this, but I can't get by with this, and just kind of setting our own way of worshiping Him. And with that, in chapter 2 also, we start to, as we started the last couple of times, the properties or the not the properties, if I may say, the characteristics of those of that false teaching. Remember, we said they are the teaching is leading to deception, leading to delusion, leading to too many things that can actually take us somewhere else, right? And that's where we talked about last time, the last couple of times, also given an example of the three examples of that there is judgment, right? Remember the angels, the floods, and Sodom and Gomorrah. And then two examples of actually salvation, of the Lord is able to save people from the midst of the fire and from the midst of the darkness, right? Even as Lot's soul was tormented, right, because of all the evil, but he was able to do what? to get them out of there and to give them. With this comes again the rest of chapter two, which is kind of summary of all what he's talking about. He's still talking about those false prophets, talking about what not only just the false prophets, so we're not just kind of focused on thing, well, we don't have false prophets now, or, you know, this is, he must be talking about these and them. And no, let's say, like, again, how easy it is for all of us to fall into that, right? So that's why towards the end of this chapter, chapter two, he starts to becoming actually even more straightforward and more harsh in a way of the way that he is actually trying to get the people to tell them one message: be careful, be careful. It's not a joke. It's not just an easy thing, right? It's not just, again, you know, we're saved and we're just sitting here and there's nothing to do. Be careful. You see that word coming more and more and more, and we'll see it again in chapter three, which is what, be steadfast, right? Like stand and be able to fight. So just read the last few verses from chapter two, go through them, and then jump into chapter three after this. Again, let's go from 17, because that kind of describes again how he's talking about people. Again, either the people who follow the false teaching, the false teachers themselves, or us who can let our mind and let ourselves go on with our own understanding without really following the true faith. These are waterless, from verse 17, 2 Peter 2, verse 17. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves. We talked about this last time. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. And here you see again the focus on the flesh and the corruption and the following the flesh, which leads into different other things. For whatever, and this is, we talked about this, and we said this is something that's very, very important concept, spiritual concept. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved, right? We stressed on this and said this is something that we, all of us, need to be very, very careful, because it's very, very general, yet it's very, very precise, right? Whatever overcomes a person, to that the person is what? Enslaved. And then from verse 20, for if after they have escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This verse is very important, and we'll kind of depict it in several parts here soon. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. The last state has become for them worse than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandments delivered to them. Again, you see how harsh the tone is getting, right? No, you know, he's not talking now about, you know, the joy and the grace, and no, he's getting into the real business now, right? Be careful. For if it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it turn back from the holy commandments delivered to them. And then gets even worse and worse, if I may say that word. What the true proverb says has happened to them: the dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow of the mire. Boom, right? So let's go back to verse 20, and I want to hear from you. What are the main two things? There are two words here that are very, very important. And again, that's what I have in mind, so you can try to see if what you want to say matches what I have in mind or not. But for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse to them than the first. What do you think of this?
So escape and entangle are two that I pick up on.
You got one out of the two.
Oh
And
man. Okay.
entangled is entangled is 100% correct. Escaped, yes, but that's not what's in my mind. So just have another try. Thanks, Brian. I believe you said something. Knowledge. Why did I choose knowledge over escape? Why knowledge is very important.
Because that's where your escape comes from, is the knowledge.
Very good. That's the root of the escape, how to live, right? Look at the verse again. For if after they have escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge, right? So escaping here, our way of escaping the defilement of the world is through what? The knowledge, right? But again, what kind of knowledge? Again, if you remember from the beginning, we said the knowledge is repeated several times in this particular epistle, in the three chapters. I think, as far as I remember, 16, 18 times, something like that, right? What kind of knowledge? Yes, David. Yes. Right. Okay. Right. Yes. So not just the mental knowledge or the awareness or the knowledge of the information, but the actual full knowledge, as we said in the beginning, the full knowledge, which is actually coming from, as you said in chapter early on in chapter two, right? That the virtue that leads to, right? First chapter. Yes, right. Yes, that leads to that, right? What else? What else comes to mind when you talk about knowledge? Because again, we talked about it a lot, but here it comes to actually full circle and the full importance of that knowledge, because he puts it as the breakpoint, right? You know, if you escape through the knowledge, then this will happen, right? What else? What else comes to mind with that knowledge?
Yeah,
Yes, Elvir.
I can maybe think of it a little bit, Abuna, as like knowledge of the heart. Like you can know something like intellectually by your mind, which is like just mere information about a person, or you can have like a personal relationship with that person.
Okay.
And like know them more like personally.
Okay. So you personal knowledge, not just knowledge or knowing of certain. It's interesting because again, we know that out of that knowledge came all the Gnosticism, right? So it took humanity to a totally different area, different place, right? Because again, not trying to know God, but trying to know whatever that power is there that gives some kind of knowledge and so on, so on, so, right? In Colossians 3, verse 10, it's very, very important also concept of that, where St. Paul says, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So what does that mean? What does this verse mean? Colossians 3:10. Have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge. So that new man is being renewed in. Now, what kind of knowledge? The image of the one who created him. So here is a very important concept that knowledge is not just any knowledge. It's the knowledge of what? Of how to be transformed to his image. Right? What
But
else?
Abuna,
Abuna.
Didn't he say also that after the verse where he was talking about Balaam, the son of Beor,
Yes.
so he was a prophet who was getting inspiration by the Holy Spirit, and he despised that, and he chased the money instead of the Holy Spirit and God. And I
Right.
was thinking maybe also Peter was thinking of Judas, who was one of them, and he was given power just like them, and he was given the 3.5 years and that deep closeness.
Yes.
But then he this in a way he despised it really, and I think that's why he said it's like a dog who goes back and
Back
eats his
again.
vomit.
So he has all those figures in his mind of really people started somehow and ended up in the wrong place. Yes. Okay.
And I think it's an intentional, I guess, like looking down or despising of what they have. It's an intentional rejection of what they got. And
Yes.
maybe that's why he's saying their end is worse, because they've intentionally understood, they've
Yes,
lived
they
it,
intentionally don't
they've
want to, yes, they intentionally left. So again, and we'll talk about this, which is like, does this verse mean there is no repentance for anybody who falls? Definitely not, because that sometimes could be misunderstood. Okay, here it is. It says like, if you started and you fell, then you're done. Right? That's not the purpose. Knowledge, life, and light, as somebody's texting me. Also, with knowledge, you will gain power, 100%. With knowledge, you'll gain power. But again, knowledge of him, that personal knowledge, right? What else? Anything else with that?
Abuna, can we talk about the knowledge in the Greek?
Go ahead.
In
Yes.
the Greek. So the Greek is epignosis, and usage is knowledge of a particular point, directions toward a particular object.
Okay.
So if the idea there is it affects the direction that you're going.
Yes. So it's not just knowledge, that information, but actually it has what has an impact on which way you go, right?
Like a guidance, you know.
Right. Which is very true. I mean, if we really, look at the understanding of that, like, what we make our decisions and our choices and everything based on knowledge, right? If somebody tell me, why don't you go somewhere? Well, let me read about it first, right? Let me know what's happening first, and that knowledge sinks in, and you use that to direct us to which way. Okay.
I couldn't help myself but to bring in the Greek.
Sure, I was waiting for that. Yes. So that's a very, very important, way of St. Peter pointing this out. Again, remember that he's talking from his own experience, number one, right? That he at one point, he knew, right? He is the one who said that you are the Son of God, right? But that wasn't enough, right? That knowledge wasn't enough. Said yes, the Lord told him, blessed are you, right? But then that still wasn't enough, because it wasn't to the point that it takes over everything else, it redirects everything else, right? And then, that's why, again, it's more important than, or it precedes the escape, because again, as it says here, that you are escaping, or that they have escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right. So let me reverse that now. If we are not able to escape the defilement, right? We are falling into, again, defilement is a very, very general word, right? The word. It doesn't really kind of like limit certain things, but in another translation, it's the foulness, the pollution, right? The pollution is good. I like that actually. Like whatever is polluting the heart, right? Whatever is polluting the mind, polluting the mind. So with that, it's also very easy to be polluted, right? You go out in the street, you see something, or you watch, you know, a show and you see something, or you hear something, and you just hear somebody talking about something, and we're getting all that kind of rubbish, if I may say that, right? Being thrown at us all the time, right? And causing that defilement, that pollution, right? So here is very, very important. This is actually back again to what he's talking about later on at the end of this chapter, which is how we cannot go back again, right? You know, because now I'm fighting the pollution with what? With the knowledge. How is that practical? Again, you know, in our practical daily encounters that we actually being attacked by all this pollution, right? What are we doing in order to actually stay focused and keep the mind clear and the heart pure? What is it that we can do? What do you think? In a very practical way. Again, this as we said early on, this epistle is very, very, very relevant to our day and age now, right? So we are living with, the moment we go out or we wake up in the morning, we are being bombarded by all kind of defilement, right? According to St. Peter here, it says that again, that them who did not really were able to stay on the right path, for if after they have escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, they are again entangled. So if we apply this again, what practical ways we can take in order to continue to escape the defilement of the world? What do you think?
I think, Abuna,
One second, Dr. Samir. Nabil is saying something. I'll get back to you. Attached to the word of God all the time, right? So all the time being under that knowledge, right? That's a very good point. Attached to the word, being always having the word of God always in our mind, in our thoughts. Yes, Dr. Samir, go ahead.
Humility, humbleness, because St. Paul states that who think his stand must be cautious lest he fall.
Very good. Very good. So be aware, be cautious, right? Examine every thought that comes, examining the thoughts. Because again, you know, it's interesting, you know, just coming to my mind again, when we go to Africa, to Nigeria, when we walk in the places that are, you know, in the slums area and those areas, we're very, very cautious where we're stepping, right? Like literally, right? You know, because one wrong step will end up in a sewage, or, you know, stepping over that rat or whatever, really, literally, right? So just being really, just being aware that I don't wanna, you know, pollute myself, don't want to injure myself physically, I'm very careful. I know where I'm stepping, right? If you apply this to our spiritual life, you see that sometimes we're not as vigilant as we are with our physical and bodily things, right? So being aware. Yes. What else? What else? Something else.
So, Abuna, in the coaching discipline, when we set a goal with a client and the client fails, they fail to do what they said they were going to do, we're taught to loop back and say, okay, what other things can help you with this? Are there other people in your life that can help you with this?
Very good.
So in my mind, so that I'm tying this back to the church.
Yes.
That the fellowship of the church, that, you know, hey, you know, we do have help. We're kind of in this together, and we can help each other. And, you know, I mean, if I'm working on some kind of shady deal or something, I'm going to have to face, you know, you guys at church, that's not going to be good. Not going to go well for me.
Yes. That's a great point. The accountability and the community, right? And that's why we always say be present, right? Because, you know, if I'm on my own and I'm struggling with something, and then I get into that, you know, spiral and get into that mentality, okay, I, you know, things went back again and I fell again, or I got entangled again, and then, you know, that knowledge can be easily lost, right? So having that body of Christ, having the group, having the being together in a liturgy, praying together, being together in a Bible study together. All those things are very, very important, that everything that we say, the Spirit is using it, right, in order to like, hey, be careful, it's time to wake up again. Okay. Very good. Yes, Dave.
Yeah, I think,
go ahead, Dave.
What's occupying your mind? Way to be focused away from God. Whatever you do, it's just so you can pray and you're working. And we live in a world where you're potentially taxed.
Right. Yes. Yes.
That as a person who has had the full knowledge of God versus one who hasn't, there's a distinction.
Definitely.
So one is just going on, who hasn't had the full knowledge, is just going on their lives and they don't know what they're missing.
Right.
Sense. But the one who does, you've seen what it's like to know God, but now you're working and you're conscious that you're missing
something. Right.
And I think there's a distinction there to be had. And it's on the person who knows God to find a way to think about God in
right.
whatever way they
in whatever can. Way. Right. Right. Yes. Yes. That's a great point. It's how to stay connected all the time, right? Because again, that pollution is not necessarily coming as a big, huge, fall or sin or whatever. Like just not, as simple as the Lord asks us to do what? To love the Lord from all your heart, all your mind, all your power. Like, well, really? How is that possible? Right? How many times or how many minutes in the day I really remember God, right? Being so much, indulged in good things, not in bad things, in working. Like there is just the demand of the work that I have to focus, whatever time, right? But then this is the beauty of that is as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm still connected, right? I'm still getting that knowledge, right? Yes, one last thing.
Yeah, you're actually conscious.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. Yes. Yes. As I said before, one of the things I read is look at your work, not as a work, but as a vocation. Just even going to work is a vocation. Like, okay, what does God want from me today? Is there a reason for me to be there? Would I do something, even if I'm working from home? Is there something that I can do or something that God can use me to send a message? Yes. I'm sure yes. How? That's where creativity comes. That's where the Holy Spirit comes, right? So being out of that box of, well, worship means ABC. Well, not necessarily, right? Worship is every breath that I breathe is worship, right? That's where comes, again, something as simple as the Jesus prayer, as we always say in the Orthodox Church. My Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We can say this whatever times. The fact, again, is whether I remember to say it or not. Right. So again, St. Peter here is being very, very practical with them and kind of being very, very, you see all the passion. Actually, he's trying to get them to know that, you can and you should be able to continue on the path that you started on, because otherwise you get entangled. That's the other word, entangled, right? Entangled meaning you're not paying attention, right? If I'm walking and there's whatever here and I got entangled, right? Or even, always my fear on Sunday as I'm walking around and I got entangled in my own vestment, right? And then, okay, well, that's not going to be fun. It'll be a disaster, right? But again, I need to pay attention to that, right? Whatever it takes. If I'm not paying attention, can be easily entangled. So entangled meaning something that comes to me all of a sudden, because I'm just not paying attention to it, right? And that is important because that's another part of our spiritual struggle, that we're not paying attention, right, to things. That's what Dr. Samir is saying here. Just be careful. Be careful. So it's kind of interesting as he comes to that, to close that chapter and to close that, actually, there were no chapters in the beginning, but to close that section of talking and addressing the false prophets, he's bringing something very, very important. Again, that they, after the escape through the knowledge, they were entangled entangled. Why entangled? As it said in the couple of verses before, because of what? Of the passions of the flesh, right? And that's the seed for everything. Again, passion of the flesh doesn't have to be sexual sins or lust, right? The passion of the flesh is very general, right? It's whatever we are using to feed the flesh, right? And that's why, again, the beauty of Orthodox Church, when we were coming up with a bunch of you know, Jonas fast in 2 weeks, and then the Great Lent, 55 days. So all those things are actually a good reminder for us to do what? To forget about the passion of the flesh, right? You know, I remember when we started doing the late liturgies on Wednesday, like, you know, Father, it's going to be too much and too late and we're tired. Like, well, try it and see, right? Try it and see. And, you know, you see the grace and you see the power and you see how much God has given and you really see God, because as weak as we are physically, you can see how God is actually lifting us up. And the prayer has a different meaning, honestly, right? When I'm praying while I'm really tired, but God is giving me the grace to stand, right? It's definitely a different experience. Versus I'm, you know, sitting on my couch and just, you know, thank you, Lord. So, you know, right? So that's what he's saying here again, that, you know, be careful, because all this comes from the passion of the flesh. And again, passion of the flesh, sometimes what the first thing comes to us is like sexual temptation. We're not talking about sex here, right? You know, we're talking about the passion of the flesh in everything, right? Just caring for ourselves more than what is need. Again, there's nothing wrong to take care about ourselves. Again, the body is not wrong, right? We agree on this. The body is not evil. This is a big thing, right? But how to really pay attention to, like, if I'm really so much into the flesh, I'm forgetting about my spirit, or how we can live that beautiful life with that. Anything else? Anybody wants to add anything else in this section?
Yes, I want to say something, Buna.
Go ahead.
I think when Peter wrote this, he was in his subconscious and his mind, Simon the sorcerer. This number one. Second, this verse in particular assures our faith. There is falling apart or apostasy, which some denomination ignore it or say it is not present. So they started by being having a good relation and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and after that they deny him or they get entangled on the in the lusts of the world.
Yes, that's a very good point, Dr. Samir. So again, what Dr. Samir is saying is that is a very, very, very good verse and good point to refute the mindset of, again, once we're saved, right? No, be careful, right? Because you can start right and then end up wrong. So don't, you know, we have assurance, we have the trust and we have the grace, but we still have to be careful not to be entangled. Right. So once we say, okay, like, no, that's it, you know, there's nothing else I need to do, that's not quite true. Right. And I think all of us, regardless of our background, all of us struggle with something like this. How can I really continue to grow and to continue to be on the right path and to continue to be able to be watchful? Right. There's nothing called just we're done. Right. We were discussing this yesterday in the Bible study, you know, the again, this is, and we were talking about this actually yesterday, the idea of Saint Macarius, who said, like, you know, as he was about to end his life, and somebody told him, you know, blessed are you, Macarius, because you made it. But like, no, I didn't, not yet. And he was just, you know, minutes from departing, like, no, right? Not no because I'm not sure, but no because I want to be careful to the last minute. Because we get this wrong understanding sometimes. Like we're not really sure if we'll make it to the glory or not. Macarius didn't say that. He said that I need the time, or I need to be careful less, even in the last minute, I will fall. And that is a very, very important point. And that's why, again, we're always in that mentality and the mindset of being, you know, that again, what we call nepsis, being watchful, right? And as you said before, this is one of the things that always, during the liturgy, the deacon is always calling, you know, be attentive, right? Proschomein, right? Pay attention, not only to the words, but to yourself, right? That's why when we say, again, I was actually talking about the actual liturgy with one of our guests, and he said, like, you know what? Well, every time you're saying, you know, stand up for prayer, we're already standing. We've been standing for 2 hours. You know, what are you talking about? You know, there's no stand up here is not the physical standing, right? It's the rising of the spirit, rising of not just the physical standing that you are standing. No, stand up with your mind, with your thoughts, with your spirit. So that call to stand up for prayer is not just, okay, well, get up, you know, you had enough rest, or no, I've been standing for the last whatever hours. No. Stand up meaning, you know, be attentive, be ready, right? And once we live this and experience this here, then we take this outside, as we said before, right? So I'm already standing all the time, already attentive all the time, right? It's interesting, actually. I'll say this, you know, one of the not requirements, what is it called? One of the advice that we give for the pre-marriage counseling, we do the pre-marriage counseling, because sometimes, again, you know, the couple will come and say, you know what, Father, there is nothing we can talk about anymore. My life is boring. You know, what's happening? Oh, I had a good day, I had a bad day. You start, you know, working and start maybe sharing the activities that happened throughout the day, like for me, for myself, but that's not a dialogue, right? Like, well, I don't want to hear about your work anymore. You know, you had a bad day, I had a bad day also. So let's find something else to talk about, right? So one of the things that they recommend is the word I'm looking for, in to have a healthy dialogue is actually pay attention to the things that you like in your spouse today and spend 5 minutes talking about that, right? You know, I'm the first one who falls in this. You know, she's not online today, so I can say this. But it's very important, really, when I am, you know, paying attention intentionally, kind of watching my spouse, and come at the end of the day or at any time, you know what, I really appreciate you today because you did this and this and this, right? Imagine like your wife or your husband's like, are you okay? What's wrong with you, right? If you start doing this, where is this coming from? But it's very important as a basics of communication, healthy communication, right? I really appreciated you today, right? I loved what you did today. Wow, right? It's a total different way of communication. And if we do this, if we recommend this to do it within the couple, how about us and him, right? And this is how we stay away from being entangled or being bored in our relationship with him, right? At the end of the day, try it as an exercise. At the end of the day, like really look and see, you know, what God has done to me today. And I talked to him about it, like, thank you, Lord, for this. And maybe I didn't see him in certain things. I would tell him also the same thing. Like, you know, I thought you left me today. Like, where were you? You know, I was struggling with this and I asked, but you weren't there. What's happening? Where are you? Right? This is the kind of knowledge that we're talking, that St. Peter is talking about. Right? Not just rituals, but that living, again, the living God comes one more time again. Go ahead.
This idea that, you know, we receive knowledge of Christ. We have, you know, we can have that relationship with Christ, but we can also fall away from that. I don't know if that's uniquely Orthodox, and I don't want to pick any particular church, but I do think there are certain churches that their focus is in being saved. That you get to, oh, well, you need to get saved. You need to do this ritual, or you need to do such and such. Where so I don't know if that's uniquely to Orthodoxy, but it's a great point that yes. Yeah, yes. So treat that like a human relationship. Yeah,
right. Right. Yes, no, I totally agree, because that's why we call, again, you know, in the beautiful books of Pope Shenouda, he calls the life of prayer, the life of repentance, the life of fear, the life of, right? So it's not just like a one thing that I will acquire one time and will sleep on it. No, I live in it. I live in prayers. I live in repentance. I live in confession. I live in fear. I live in faith, right? So it is that totality of everything. And that is the knowledge, because the knowledge, again, if you talk about the knowledge of, again, the text saying what? The knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is the Lord limited? No. So that knowledge is what?
Infinite.
Infinite. As simple as that. And that's where also the Father says that even that knowledge will continue in the second or in the second life. We're never going to come to the point of, okay, now, okay, we got it. No. Right? But again, we need to put an effort. Again, to learn something, you have to read. Well, Abuna, I don't like to read. Well, okay. Well, listen, if you don't read, do something, right? Like several times I talk to people like, well, how's the Bible? Well, I really have hard time reading. Well, play it, listen to it, right? Thank God now everything is there, right?
Well, the priest now on YouTube and
right. Even the Arabic sermons are captioned in English, right? So there is no excuse, right? There is no excuse not to get that knowledge, right? One last thing with this, which is going back, you know, Brian went to the Greek, I'll go to the Hebrew. Yada, the verb in Hebrew, which is to know, is the same word, the same verb that they use in the Old Testament for a man to know his wife. That intimate knowledge. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So it's not just again the mental knowledge or the reason. No, the same word is used. And so Abraham knew Sarah, whatever. Yada, the same word, the same verb. It's not a different verb, which is amazing. So he's asking for that intimate relation, the oneness, right? Lest you are entangled with they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. Again, this is not to say that there is no door for repentance, 100%. But again, he's talking about the people who actually chose this as their life, right? Refuse to know, refuse to come back again, right? For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandments delivered to them. And we have the same story with St. Paul, right? When he said, so and so, he left me and loved the world, right? Who was it again? No.
Demas.
Demas, thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Demas left me, right? And you see the sorrow in the tone, like he left me, right? After being and after going and after doing everything. And yeah. We had several encounters like that in the mission with local that actually spent some time and everything, and then for whatever reason, you know, they left the mission. And it really hurts, you know, not you know, because of any personal, like, well, feel like it's a waste or anything, but for the person himself, right? Yeah. That, like, you know, that for whatever reason they started, but then at one point. So, and that's where they use that proverb also. I'm just kind of reading through this more and more, which is, you know, as strong and you know, harsh it is, the proverb of the dog and of the pig, but you know, I was reading something about it. It says, like, actually, that could be the story of our life, right? You know, what would the dog do? Again, you know, Brian here, you know, you and Doreen also have your picture with the dog. But again, you know, if a dog is hungry and there is no good food, go try to eat whatever, right? They get sick, they vomit, right? And then after a while, they get hungry again. Still no good food, they will go to do what? Go back to their vomit, right? So in a way, that is the story of humanity when we are hungry, right? And go eat whatever, right? And then we get sick, said, okay, that's it. We'll vomit that. We don't want this anymore. But we're still what? Still hungry. Still hungry. And we still can't find fulfillment. So we go back again to our own things that we rejected. Right? Can you picture this with me? Again, you know, being greedy, for example, right? Love money. And I go after it. And maybe do whatever it takes to get money. Gambling, just an example, right? So possessed and obsessed both with the idea of gaining money as fast as I can. Okay, you know, and I've talked to people like that. You know, father, you know, the moment I get the paycheck with me, I'm going to the casino right away, right? To the point that some people said, okay, well, they have their names on the gate. Like, please don't let this person come in. Okay? I mean, it doesn't have to be that extreme, but again, this is, you can, on based on that, you can put on anything else, right? Trying so much to get something, I get it, but then it makes me sick. So I feel bad. I go to God and say, okay, here it is. Don't want it anymore, right? But then what happens is I never get filled. So because I'm never getting filled, I always go back again to the same sin again. See the pattern, right? So getting rid of that, vomiting it, is okay, is good, right? But then it has to be followed by what? By the good food. By the good food. A lot of times you want to stop something and we work very hard to stop it and then we able to do that, but we go back again to it. Why? Because we're never being filled. I get rid of something, but I'm still hungry. Still hungry. Sounds familiar? Right? Still hungry. So, and that's why we always say, don't focus on the sin, focus on the Lord. Right? If I'm struggling with envy, with jealousy, with gossiping, with judging, right? And I get to it and it makes me feel good sometimes, maybe feel like I'm in control, I'm better than those and those and those, right? But then I really get sick out of that, right? And okay, I'm gonna vomit this, right? But I'm still, my mind is still what? Empty. My heart is still empty, right? I didn't replace the jealousy, the judgment, the gossiping. I didn't replace any of this with or by God. So after a while, I'm still empty. I'll go back again to do the same thing again. Right? See the pattern? And that's why we always say in our spiritual fight, there is always that idea of being, of the replacement, replacing, right? So I'm fighting again towards, okay, I'm struggling with this. Okay, put some effort, yes. But putting effort is not enough. I have to put effort to be filled with the word of God, with his presence, with the light. Okay? So that will fill. Then I am not hungry. I will not go back again to my own vomit. Right? But sometimes it's not that easy, or we don't want to put the effort in order to continue to seek the good food, right? So that's why we go back again in circles. And sometimes this is our old life, right? Again, we continue to fall, right? But falling with being nourished again, right? By the knowledge of God, by the church, by the mysteries, right? That will definitely, again, you know, the idea of being able to digest that food and grow with it. So it's really the way he's, St. Peter is talking here again. And as we said before, I think Sherry said it, he has in mind, you know, Judas, he has in mind, you know, he has in mind himself again. But by God's grace, he was able not to go back again to his vomit. He was restored one more time, right? Why? Because then he was fed by the Lord himself, and the Lord, because the Lord was feeding him, the Lord actually asked him to do what? To feed the others. See how it goes now, right? So he is content, right? He's not going back again to his own vomit. And now he has he's at the point of what God is telling him now, what, go feed my, right? That's exactly what happened with the Samaritan woman, 100%, right? Left her jar, left the problem. But then he said, what, I will give you the water that will flow from you, right? And then she went and told the people, a man told me everything, come and see. Come and see. Big part of our struggle is we're always fighting how to stop, but we don't put enough effort how to be filled. How to be filled. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And thank God again, you know, back again to the quote, you know, flee to the church and be nourished by the Lord's scriptures, by the mysteries, right? It's interesting when we're going back again to that verse, you know, escape is actually flee. So it's kind of like line up with what we've been talking about since the beginning of the year, right? They have escaped the defilement, you know, flee from the defilement, which is, we're talking about the cities of refuge yesterday, right? Fleeing from that and running to those cities, knowing that there is safety there. There is safety there. It's again, Peter is continuing to get that attention, get them to that point of like, be careful, be careful. You'll continue to face wrong teaching, and you'll continue to be pushed to think in the wrong way, right? But be very, very, very careful, because how you can escape this? By the knowledge, right? And the knowledge will not only allow you to escape from the defilement, will also protect you from being what? Entangled. Lest you actually go back again to the things that you've left at one point. Then, we said we'll go to three. We're not going to go to three, but next time. Then chapter three starts now to talk about what? The signs and the second coming, right? The reality. Yes. Go ahead, Karina. In verse 21, for it would have been, I'll read it from here, for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness and then after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandments delivered to them. Very good. Very good. In though, if we go back again, so the question is, what holy commandment is he talking about, right? You know, if we take it that he's talking about the examples that he gave, right? Lot, Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah, they all had the holy commandments, right? The commandments, right? But if we talk in general for all of us now, the answer comes actually from the second next chapter. Because next chapter, at one point, he talks about the at the end of the message of the epistle itself, talks about towards the end, he talks about three things in 3:15. It said, count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. So now Saint Peter is saying what, that there is at that time, there is, this is a good testimony that at that time the writings of Paul were a source of teaching, were all over the place. So now the commandments here also include the letters that were used in the churches as a way of teaching. But then he adds a couple other things. So he talks about the letters of St. Paul, which, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand. And then he goes, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people. But then before that, sorry, he says, what did I see? He talks about the commandments, the letters of Paul talks about the commandments of the teaching of the Lord himself, and talks also about their own teaching. I'll find it here for you. I can't find it now. I missed it. I was just reading it earlier.
Abuna, were you re referring to not to be found with blemish, to be found without blemish?
No. I'll find it. I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. But again, in that context, again, he's talking, he gave the examples of the people from the Old Testament, right? And they did not follow the commandments from the commandments. And then the general, he's talking about the letters and the teaching of St. Paul. And then somewhere in that chapter, I'll find it later on. Here it is in the beginning of the chapter. I got it. That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. 3:2. Right? So as he's telling them at the end of this, that the holy commandments, now here he's actually talking more about that, explaining more about that. What are these commandments? Predictions of the holy prophets and commandments, the holy prophets. Okay, and the commandments of the Lord himself, the teaching of the Lord himself when he was on earth, and through your apostles, the commandments of the apostles now. Very good point. Thank you for pointing this out. We'll get to it more and more next time. Does that answer the question? Yes. So again, at certain time, the people from the Old Testament had the commandments of the Lord himself. Now the church now has the commandments that we have the prophets, they have commandments of the Lord and through the apostles. And that's again the beauty of the church that kept this till now and using this till this moment. This is what we abide by. Very good. Any other questions? Dave, one last one. Yes. So what's the interpretation? Why would the end would be worse than the beginning, right? Well, remember, again, we agree that this is the whole point of chapter 2, that there is judgment. There is judgment, right? And as the Lord said himself, you know, the more you know, the more you'll be asked, right? Right. Yes. So again, you know, if a person, you know, the Lord has revealed himself and worked with them and you know, lift them up and everything, and then at the end again, like, you know what? Sorry, it doesn't fit me. I have my own life, right? So the worst here is he in this context he's talking about the judgment, right? What is that like? I don't know, right? But definitely this is the just judge, right? That you know there is something that I wanted from you and you didn't give me, and you have no excuse. That's the point, is you have no excuse. Don't say that you didn't know or you knew only little. No, you started very, very strong. Thank you. We'll continue next time, God willing. We have so the plan, just I was thinking about this earlier today, so 1, 2, 3 Saturdays before Great Lent. So I promise you, I promise you, I promise you that we'll finish chapter 3 before Great Lent. Lent is starting March 11th. Actually, I remember we were hoping to finish Peter before Nativity. So God was giving us more and more. So the plan is by God will is we'll finish chapter 3 in 3 times, 24th, 2nd, and 9th, and then we'll start a new study for the Great Lent, for the time of Lent, right? God willing. I'm promising this by God's grace. Okay, well, let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your care. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that you gave us, Lord, as we pray, Lord, that you gave us the knowledge of yourself, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to keep our eyes and keep our minds and thoughts and hearts, Lord, pure from any pollution, Lord, as we pray, from any cardinal pollution, Lord. Continue, Lord, to sanctify us and to be the reason why we live, Lord, in order to be ready and to live that kingdom from now, from this moment forward, till eternity. Pray for my brothers and sisters, for those who aren't with us, for those who are struggling, for those who have no one to remember them. The prayers of all your saints in your name, Lord Jesus, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Forgive us this day. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
May the love of God the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, the King of the Holy Spirit, with you. Go in peace. Peace be with you all. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Welcome, Stephanie. Good to have you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. See you.
Bye-bye.